Good evening, New Visioners. Welcome to another Saturday evening service. My name is Pastor Christina Leader, and I am the assistant pastor here at New Vision Fellowship. Normally, I would be welcoming your smiling faces to an actual building, but during the pandemic, we are holding service right here online. We are so grateful that you could join us tonight for a time of worship through the Word and worship through giving, as well as worshiping through reflection. I'm going to pray, and then I hope that you enjoy the service. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be able to gather together, even if it is online, and to worship you together. I ask that during the service this evening, that you reach out and touch those through your word that need your help and your guidance. Thank you so much, Father God. You are so good. In your precious Son, Jesus Christ's name, amen. I hope you enjoy the service.
Welcome to Worship Through the Word. This week, we are going to look back for just a moment at last week's sermon, where we talked about our stories and how impactful those stories can be. One thing that has just been resonating with me is the fact that we celebrated Easter just a couple of weeks ago. And had it not been for Christ's sacrifice, we wouldn't even have the freedom to tell our stories. Can you imagine if the devil had won that day? One of the things that we were challenged to do last week was think about our stories. Practice our stories. Write our stories down. Share our stories. Ultimately, to share them via social media. I shared mine midweek. It was nice for me to look back over my story, partly because this has not been an easy week. And I've heard that from so many people. I think we've reached our limit. I think we've just about reached our limit of this social isolation and distancing. But just because we've reached our limit doesn't mean that it changes our reality. We have to keep on keeping on. And when we revisit our stories, it allows us to get in touch with that remembrance in the name of Jesus Christ. Do this in remembrance of me, which is often the words we speak when we talk about communion. And there's the way to practice communion, which is actually taking of the elements and remembering the sacrifice of Christ. But there's also other ways that we commune with God. And I think the most prevalent way that we have right now in our lives is to use this time of isolation, this time where there's probably more silence. Well, sorry to those of you who have a bunch of kids at home. Hopefully you find some silence after bedtime. But the days are longer. Most of us aren't in our cars commuting. Most of us are finding that we have just a little more open space. And that's the time that gets tough. But it's also the time that we can capitalize on communion with Jesus. I was thinking about Jesus and his time of isolation in the wilderness after his baptism, the 40 days that he spent being tempted by the devil, and how he didn't have food or water during that time. I've also thought about the people who are all alone with no family or friends, literally isolating without interaction with others. I thought about those who face injustices around the world, whether it be in our own country or elsewhere, how they do not know from where their freedom is going to come or when it's going to come. And then I thought about my home with my lights, with my hot water and the ability to shower. I thought about the food that I have in my cupboards and in my refrigerator. I thought about my TV and my Netflix and my DVR. I thought about my Bluetooth speaker and my Pandora stations and how I can fill my home, wherever I am, with the music of my choice. I thought about sitting down and holding my dog on my lap and having him look up in my face and being able to look into his eyes and shed a few tears when I need to. Having God with us and remembering our experiences with him doesn't necessarily mean that we glide through this time with ease. What it does mean is that we know we get to another side. Whatever we've been through, there's always another side. Morning is coming. We just need to wait and listen for God's voice to break through sometimes what feels like a deafening silence, a desert of aloneness, but recognizing that even when it feels that way, our reality can be very different from our feelings. And that, I think, is the thing that we've been wrestling with most this week. I think it's what I've been wrestling with most, and in particular, those who I've been interacting with who are just saying, this is getting too hard. But it's not. We have a lot more stamina than we can imagine. We are learning about that. And we have Jesus Christ. And we know that. And it's another part of learning in our relationship with God. This time gives us opportunity to learn. As I was reading through the Bible this last week, along with you, since we're reading through the Bible in a year, I was drawn very much to the story of young Samuel in 1 Samuel and how he learned to hear God's voice. And that focus is what stood out to me and where I want to spend our time this evening in the Word. First, I think it's important to get just a little background about Samuel. Samuel lived at a time when God was changing from judges being the ones who were giving the Israelites direction to hearing their cry that they wanted a king. And so Samuel lived at that transition time. His mother's name was Hannah, and Hannah was unable to have children. And every year, she and her husband would go to the tabernacle at Shiloh, and they would worship, and she would pray for a child. And there was one year in particular that she was praying fervently, and the priest Eli saw her there praying. And at first he accused her of being drunk, and I'm not really sure about why that is, except my idea is that the Holy Spirit had come on her. We look at the book of Acts, which we're also reading, and we recognize that when the Holy Spirit came on the apostles, they too were accused of being drunk. There is something that overcomes us that is kind of out of this world when the Holy Spirit encompasses us and we are with our God, wholly and completely, mind, body, soul, and spirit. At any rate, Hannah was praying and she told Eli, I am asking God for a son. And if I get a son, I am going to give him back to God for service. And Eli said, your prayers have been heard and they will be answered. And Hannah went home and she got pregnant with Samuel. And she kept him at home with her until she weaned him. And then one year on the trek back to Shiloh, to the tabernacle there, she left her little boy, Samuel, under Eli's care to serve as she promised God in an act of obedience and knowing that her prayers had been answered and that God had a special plan that we don't always understand, because I certainly can't imagine literally giving my son over to no longer live with me for the service of God. Now, figuratively, I can get that, because I can't even count the times that I've prayed in my life and said, God, these kids are yours. Whatever you want, do in their lives. Use them. May they become servants of yours. But to do so literally, that's a woman with a great deal of faith. We do find, as we read in 1 Samuel, that Hannah and her husband did have additional kids. They had 3 more sons and 2 daughters. So we are going to pick up in this story when Samuel is serving with the priest Eli. So let's go ahead and look at our scripture today. We are going to be reading from 1 Samuel 3. And right now, let's just read the first 8 or so verses, starting at verse 1. Meanwhile, the boy Samuel served the Lord by assisting Eli. Now, in those days, messages from the Lord were very rare and visions were quite uncommon. One night, Eli, who was almost blind by now, had gone to bed. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was sleeping in the tabernacle near the ark of God. Let's just stop there at the end of verse 3 for a moment, because there's some things that are here that are significant. One is that it says, now in those days, the messages from the Lord were very rare and visions were quite uncommon. This was a time of spiritual darkness. We're going to find out as we read through this why that was occurring. But the reason that the Lord had not been heard from much is because he was not being pursued by the people. They were pursuing other things, their own desires. In fact, there was a lot of rebellion. And so God wasn't being found because God wasn't being sought. And even though he had called people like Eli, and of course, I think we know from reading in the Old Testament how the priesthood followed generationally, what God was finding is that those who were called to be priests, to be the intercessors between the people and himself, were not even trying to listen when he did call their voice. And then it says, one night Eli, who was almost blind by now, had gone to bed. When it speaks of Eli being almost blind, this is literally, he was physically suffering from blindness, but it's also spiritually. He was blind spiritually, or almost blind, because it says that the lamp of God had not yet gone out. This is important because it was the high priest's job to keep the lamp burning in the tabernacle all night long. Eli's job to keep this lamp burning. But he had gone to bed, and he had left Samuel to stay in the tabernacle by the ark of God. It was Samuel who was keeping the light of God burning. Let's pick up in verse 4. Suddenly the Lord called out, Samuel. Yes, Samuel replied, what is it? He got up and ran to Eli. Here I am, did you call me? I didn't call you, Eli replied. Go back to bed. So he did. Then the Lord called out again, Samuel. Again Samuel got up and went to Eli. Here I am, did you call me? I didn't call you, my son, Eli said. Go back to bed. Samuel did not know the Lord because he had never had a message from the Lord before. So the Lord called a third time, and once more Samuel got up and went to Eli. Here I am. Did you call me? Samuel was hearing God's voice, but it was taking some time for him to recognize it. God wasn't giving up. He was calling over and over and over because he saw this boy that was willing to keep the light of the Lord alive. And so this was a time that he was allowing Samuel to tune into his voice. I remember being a little girl and going for drives on Sunday with my family. That seemed to be the entertainment du jour when I was a little girl. We would get into our red Rambler. Some of you have never even heard of a Rambler. We'd always had a Rambler when I was a little girl. They were always red, in my memory anyway. And we would get a new Rambler, and they were the kind of car that you just drove until you couldn't drive them any longer, and then you'd buy a new Rambler. And as we would go on these roads that often were just trails that my dad would take off down, these dirt trails that we wouldn't know where we'd end up, we would often lose radio stations. And I remember him moving the dial around until we would find a station that was close to wherever it was we were traveling on that particular day, on that particular outing as a family. It's kind of the same with Samuel. He was hearing something, and he thought it was Eli. And he kept going to Eli because Eli was his mentor. Samuel, being a mentee, recognized that when his mentor called him, he needed to respond because that's who was teaching him the ways of the Lord. So he was learning how to turn that dial and tune in. But he was mistaking the voice of the Lord for Eli's. And sometimes I remember on those drives with my family, we wouldn't find a radio station. And so what would we do? We would sing. We would do things together that would bond us together in ways that went far beyond what hearing anything on a radio could do. And that's what Samuel was learning here. Samuel was learning that even though he knew Eli's voice and Eli was the one to show him the ways of the Lord, that really there was a greater connection, a greater voice with which he was being taught by God for a response. God's very own voice that had been silent for a long time as he recognized the one at that point who would be the bearer of the light of God to move forward. Samuel needed to go through the process of hearing God's voice and responding a few times, and he didn't always hit the target. That's okay. When we are working on hearing God's voice, we don't always hit the target. God does not expect us to be perfect. Now, Jesus knew God's voice. Jesus came from heaven. Jesus was God. Jesus was with God at the beginning, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And Jesus in human form knew his Father's voice. And he talked about that a lot to us. He talks about it in the Word, how we must learn to hear the Father's voice. And anyone who follows Jesus is following what the Father is directing. So this is certainly applicable to us now. Learning to hear God's voice. It's kind of like practicing to tell our story, remembering the experiences we've had with God. We are also practicing to listen to God's voice and recognize what it sounds like. Practicing listening is something that happens as we grow in relationship with God. It's a learning process, and when we finally hear God's voice, I think what God wants to know is, are we listening? And then oftentimes there's a test. There will be a test wondering whether we'll respond. Will we follow through on God's will for us? Let's continue reading in 1 Samuel chapter 3, starting at the rest of verse 8 through verse 14. It says, "Then Eli realized it was the Lord who was calling the boy. So he said to Samuel, 'Go and lie down again. And if someone calls again, say, Lord, speak. Your servant is listening.' So Samuel went back to bed, and the Lord came and called as before, 'Samuel, Samuel.' And Samuel replied, 'Speak, your servant is listening.' Then the Lord said to Samuel, 'I am about to do a shocking thing in Israel. I am going to carry out all my threats against Eli and his family from beginning to end. I have warned him that judgment is coming upon his family forever because his sons are blaspheming God and he hasn't disciplined them. So I have vowed that the sins of Eli and his sons will never be forgiven by sacrifices or offerings.'" Now, what we notice here when we first start reading in the rest of verse 8 is that Eli has still the ability to recognize when God is speaking. That Eli, as Samuel's mentor, continued to direct Samuel to the ways of the Lord. How important it is for us to have mentors, those who have more spiritual experience than us, more discernment than us, and how important it is that we be mentees, that we can glean and learn from those who have gone before. Sometimes these mentors are real people in our lives. Other times, a lot of our mentorship can come from the great mothers and fathers of faith who came before us, and just reading books and listening to testimonies and the stories that we have been really focusing on the last couple of weeks that we hear from other people's lives help us to grow in our own life. We also see here in this part of the scripture that Samuel is receiving his calling from God. That his calling is unique for him. His calling is also coming because God sees that he is the one who will carry forth the light of the Lord. We need to recognize that it is important to be submitted to God. And a lot of times we learn how to submit by submitting to those in authority over us. Samuel's a great example of submitting to Eli, that person who had been placed in authority over him. God came and called as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And the young man replied as he'd been told, "Speak, your servant is listening." Samuel receives his call from God, and he was told that he needed to communicate something that was going to be really difficult to communicate. And it was to this person who he had a great deal of respect for. This was a test. Would Samuel respond? He learned to hear God's voice. He listened. He answered when God called. And then he was given his calling. Would he walk out this calling at this time? You see, here's the problem. Eli's sons had been blaspheming the Lord. And that meant that his kids, his grandkids, his great-grandkids could not carry on the priesthood. The priesthood was familial. It was passed down. The high priest's sons became the priests and the high priests. Once Eli was to die, his sons were to take over. They had been rebellious. And the consequence of that, we read, is that from beginning to end, that family was going to no longer exist. Now, this might be a little shocking to us, especially if we spend most of our time reading the New Testament and we're familiar with the New Covenant, the one about grace, the one about sins being forgiven. But we need to remember that there's value and importance in the narrative in the Old Testament as well. But we also need to recognize how important it is to read all that we read in the Bible in context. You see, if you remember reading in Leviticus, there were some guidelines that were clearly laid out that said the sins can be forgiven through sacrifices and offerings when they were done inadvertently, when they were committed unintentionally. Eli's sons, however, they were deliberate in their rebellion. And that's what sets this apart. Let's finish by reading 1 Samuel 3, 15 through the end of verse 21. It says, Samuel stayed in bed until morning, then got up and opened the doors of the tabernacle as usual. He was afraid to tell Eli what the Lord had said to him. But Eli called out to him, Samuel, my son. Here I am, Samuel replied. What did the Lord say to you? Tell me everything. And may God strike you and even kill you if you hide anything from me. So Samuel told Eli everything. He didn't hold back anything. It is the Lord's will, Eli replied. Let him do what he thinks best. As Samuel grew up, the Lord was with him, and everything Samuel said proved to be reliable. And all Israel, from Dan in the north to Beersheba in the south, knew that Samuel was confirmed as a prophet of the Lord. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh and gave messages to Samuel there at the tabernacle. We don't know whether Samuel was afraid to tell Eli because he respected Eli's position, or whether it was because he feared for his own safety, recognizing the corruption that was around him, what would happen when he shared God's words with Eli. As I've mentioned before, Eli still had enough spiritual integrity and knowledge of the laws that he knew what was right. I'm sure that he also had spent some time himself after realizing that the voice of God had spoken to Samuel after being quiet for so long, that God was up to something. And he asked first thing in the morning and opened the doors to hear what God had to say. Now again, this was the Old Testament, and those kind of sins, there was a penalty, and the penalty was death. We live under a new covenant. Eli, Samuel, Eli's sons, they lived under an old covenant. The new covenant says that death is no longer the penalty for sin because of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ came and led a sinless life, and he showed us the way, because he is the truth and he is the life. And now when we sin, we are not faced with death, but we are given the opportunity to ask for forgiveness, to redirect our course, to get back in line with God, to begin asking for him to speak to us again, to open our ears and say, I'm listening. And when we hear his voice, because we will hear it if we practice listening, then we get to choose to respond. And responding as Samuel did is a great example for us. The response of obedience despite fear. You can do both. It's called courage. Courage isn't the absence of fear. It's doing something even though you might feel afraid. And Samuel, as it said in the word that we just read, was a prophet of God. And he became the priest. And he was the transitioner between the times of judges and the times of the kings. And he actually anointed the first two kings of Israel. This is a story that rapidly unfolds. And as I've been reading the last couple of weeks in 1 Samuel, I am finding myself forgetting to stop at the stopping point for a certain day because I just keep reading. It's a story that is gripping. And I hope that you'll pick up your Bible. And if you haven't been reading along, read 1 Samuel. It's a good read. It's interesting. And recognize the traits in Samuel that line up with a follower of Jesus Christ, one who wants to bear the light of the Lord for the people and for the hope of the world. Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, this has been fascinating. It's been fascinating for me to rediscover the story of Samuel. Look at things in the light of my life right now. How important listening to you is. How important experiences are. How important my decision to follow you, no matter the circumstances, no matter the cost. That I just can have courage. And I know that all of us can have courage. And that means that we get up tomorrow and we again do our social distancing, continue washing our hands, continue wearing our masks when we're going to the grocery store, and caring for each other. Even though we don't think we can do it anymore, even though we are filled sometimes with fear and sometimes with frustration, that what we need above all else is just courage to follow you and trust in you and be obedient servants. And Lord, I pray that you will heal our land once again, that as a group of believers in you, a group of Christ followers, right now, we are praying that you will hear our prayers from heaven for healing, that you will stop this virus in its tracks, that you will continue flattening the curve, and that in the right time, as we start coming back together again, that vaccines will be found, that tests will be able to be done, and that this virus, this thing of this world, we know will not win, but that it will come under submission to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray this together in Jesus' name. Amen. We are now going to go into a time of worshiping through reflection. And there's just a few questions that I would like you to consider as you are listening to the time of reflection and looking at some peaceful pictures. I want to know how God speaks to you. Think about that. What does his voice sound like? And what is your response? Practice saying this. Speak, your servant is listening. Will you say that with me right now? Like we're in the same room together. Speak, your servant is listening. What calling has he given you? Samuel was called to be a prophet and a priest. Often our calling is based on our aptitude, our passions, our experiences, and heartfelt desires. But importantly, a call must be affirmed by more than one person. No one flies solo. And when there's a calling, there is fruit. And there is a longing on our part to be obedient. And there is the desire to see the glory given to God. Be blessed as you reflect and respond to God's word today.
We are now going to be worshiping through giving. Here at New Vision, giving sometimes looks a little bit different. Giving can be financial, through tithes and offering. The money that is given not only helps keep the church running, but is also used to help those who have a financial need in the community. Another way that we give here at New Vision is with the gift of time or labor. Every Saturday, a group of us go to help the Tualatin Valley Gleaners with handing out food to those who need it and helping to pack up afterwards. We also give through food donations at times. One of the biggest ways that we give here at New Vision is through prayer. We have an intercessory prayer group that meets each week to pray for the prayer requests that we receive. If you have a prayer request, please feel free to send it to churchoffice@vision1.org. We would love to have you help us give back. If you have any questions, please feel free to send us a message or an email. If you're looking to give financially, please go to our website, www.newvisionpeople.org. That's www.newvisionpeople.org. And click on the Give tab and follow the instructions. You can also mail a check to New Vision Fellowship at P.O. Box 5815, Aloha, Oregon 97006. Aloha is spelled A-L-O-H-A. Please allow me to pray over the gifts that we are giving today. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for the opportunity to be able to give to help your people. We know that everything we have comes from you, and everything that we can give is a gift. You've given us all, and you only ask that we give such a small portion back. Thank you, Father, for this opportunity. Father God, as we wrap our service up for the evening, I ask that those who are able to give, you help them to realize what a gift it is also to themselves, to be able to help out someone who may or may not even be able to afford food for their children. We are so grateful, God, that you've brought these people to listen to our service and to hopefully be touched by the message that was brought. Thank you so much, God. In your precious Son, Jesus Christ's name, amen. Have a wonderful evening, and please remember to join us on Tuesdays and Thursdays for our Facebook Live broadcasts, and again on Saturday for our Saturday evening service. Have a good night.